Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are very thrilled about the opportunity to be able to get together and to look into God's Word and to see what He has to say. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions. So we always encourage you to go ahead and call in that question. If there's something on your heart, something on your mind, or maybe there's something that you heard today or even last week that you're questioning whether or not this is something that God has said in His Word. Well, this is your opportunity to be able to call in and ask that question. And what we will do is go to God's Word to see if what you were told was so, or to see what God's Word say on the matter. The number to call right now is 308-9564. That's the number here at the station, 308-9564. You call that number, there'll be someone standing by to write down your question, and it can be brought in to us. Or if you decide you want to ask your question on the air, you can do that as well. Just let the operator know and be prepared to turn down your radio so that we don't get any negative feedback. So what happens sometimes, there's an echo in the background when you have your radio still turned up or your volume turned up. We want to try to prevent that. And so again, if that's something that you are interested in, if you want to ask your question on the air or you just want to have it written down and brought in to us, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Now is your opportunity. Both lines are available, and you can call that number and be able to get right in and get your question on today's broadcast. And we have a couple of questions that are left over, and we will get to those in just a moment. But we want to remind you, if you have friends or relatives that are in different states or parts of the world, then you can also let them tune in via the internet by going to our website at www.biblealone.com. But be sure to let them know that this is area code 843. So if they want to call in, it is area code 843 and then the various numbers that we use. The voice line is 843-308-9564. The text line, if they would like to text their question in, they can text us at 725-9283. Either way, go ahead and get your question in, and we will go to the Bible for the question today on today's broadcast. And so if you have a smartphone or if you don't have access to a computer with the internet, you can also tell people about this program, and they can use an app called TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio, it's an app they can download on their phone and thus be able to select WJNI in Charleston, and they will be able to pick up the broadcast on their cell phone just by simply going to TuneIn Radio app on their smartphone, and they can join us. And so please listen. I know there are several of you that live outside this area, and thus you have to use the computer or a app like that. But either way you want to join us, then go ahead and call in your questions right now, and we will go to the Bible for the question that is on your mind. The operator is standing by here. Both lines are available at 308-9564. And the text line, if you'd rather text through your cell phone, it is 725-9283. And we will go to the Bible for the question that is on your mind. We have a question left over from last week. Mickey called in at the end of the broadcast last week, and we didn't get the question in time to deal with it. And so we want to address his question. Hopefully, Mickey, you are listening today. And his question is, how do you explain to children what does it mean to have the heart of God? Well, that's a good question, and it's not just hard to explain to children. It's hard to explain to adults sometimes. But here's verses that will help you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, depending on your translation, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So the Word of God is the tool that we must use in order to make that happen. It is sufficient to furnish us thoroughly to every good work. Second of all, we know in this word that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, through the knowledge of him who's called us, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And by the way, Mickey, that's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak, so that we can go to the Bible for all those answers, and it furnishes us completely, thoroughly, to every good work. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, and he's the only one that can tell us what is good and to tell us what is right and righteous. And so, thus, we have to go to this book to find out what God's will is for man. It explains the heart of God and how much he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there we can see his heart revealed to us through his Son's sacrifice on the cross, so that man can come home to live with him. Mickey, I hope that's been helpful to you. That was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, and John 3:16. There's 100 more passages that we could use, but always get your answers from God's Word, and it will set us free. Thanks, Mickey, very, very much. Again, the number is 308. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick?
Joseph called last week, and Joseph, we sure appreciate you tuning in. We hope that you're listening today as we try to answer your question. Joseph said, were Sodom and Gomorrah totally destroyed? He says 1 Kings talks about Sodomites. Well, that's a great observation, because certainly when we look at the scriptures, we see that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in the day or the time of Abraham and Lot. And that was a long time before what is recorded in 1 Kings occurred. You know, during the time of 1 Kings, you actually had you're nearing the divided kingdom. Solomon was the last king over the United Kingdom of Israel. And now you have Rehoboam, who's actually reigning over Judah. And so, I mean, many, many, many years has passed, and yet you do find this reference, in fact, three references to Sodomites in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, the Bible says, and there also were Sodomites in the land. In chapter 15, in verse 12 of 1 Kings, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land. And then again in 1 Kings chapter 22, and verse 46, and the remnant of the Sodomites which remain in the day of his father. So you find those references, and I just paraphrase those scriptures showing that the phrase in the King James is in fact Sodomites. But when you consult other translations, what you'll find is that they do not translate it Sodomites, but rather a perverted person. So what had happened was this phrase Sodomite had come to mean a behavior and not necessarily a person from Sodom. So that's one idea. And so certainly that's what the scriptures, or at least the different translations, suggest, that in fact there were no Sodomites, but rather a person who engaged in the type of behavior, Sodom, if you will, was referred to as a Sodomite or a perverted person, as you know, New King James translates it, and probably some of your other translations would translate it. But the other idea is this, and that is, you know, a person may be from Charleston and be a Charlestonian. So let's say, for example, God decided he's going to destroy all of Charleston. And he comes and he rains down fire from the heavens, and he destroyed Charleston. And then you find yourself down in Somerville, and you bump into a Charlestonian. Now, how is that possible? Well, not all Charlestonians live in Charleston. I'm a Charlestonian, and I live in Somerville. And so my point is that there may have been some who, although the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities were destroyed, it may be that there were some who was living outside of the city and that were not destroyed. And so those are two possible answers that are helpful in trying to understand this text. I really believe the first answer is correct, that the word Sodomites was just used to refer to a person who engaged in this sinful activity. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number here at the station, 308-9564. It is time for us to take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your question, 308-9564, or you can text in your question. We do have a text line that's available to you. That text number is 725. Thank you.
9283. 725-9283.
I had the wrong number written down. You would have never been able to get the message to us. Thank you. Thank you again. Feel free to text us or call in your question. We'll be right back.
We're back live now, and we will go, we're glad to get your question, and we hope and pray that you are ready to call in your question right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to take your question either live over the air, and if that is the case, we just ask to know your name and you be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. But you don't have to. You don't have to go live over there. You can have your question written down and brought in to us, like the one I'm holding in my hand right now, and we would be glad to receive your question that way, either one. The voice line for you to be able to get your question in is 308-9564. Now, you don't have to use that line. You can text us if you would rather. You can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. We have this caller calling in today. They want to know, even if we are saved, will we reap bad things? Well, that's a really good question. There's a number of verses that talk about this, and one of which is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Let me just read verse 16. It says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Talking about the purpose by which we may suffer, if we suffer because of our stupidity or decisions we make, well, there's no reason to rejoice over that. But if we are reproached for the name of Christ, verse 14, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. And so we can see there, yes, it is possible for a Christian to suffer. Matter of fact, not only possible, listen to what God said as he inspired 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, yes, that is possible. Matter of fact, it is probable. The more that we shine bright with the glory of God, with his radiance, the more darkness will be repelled at that, and we will suffer from that. There are many other passages that do express like sentiments as that. Thank you so much for the call. We sure do appreciate it. I don't have your name, but we sure appreciate your tuning in and listening. And you're calling in this question. It is certainly an honor to be able to help you to know what God says in his word concerning the question on your heart. So please continue to listen and call in questions as they come up. We're glad to be able to go to the Bible for those answers. All of you that are joining us today, we want you to know that we are thrilled to be able to have you joining us. And we hope and pray that we are able to go to the Bible on the questions that you have in your heart. Again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Now, if you'd rather text us, you can do that as well by calling with your cell phone. You can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak. Nick?
Yes, we have a call calling in about tithing. It says, where in the Bible does it say, I need to tithe? Well, if we're talking to the church, if we're talking to Christians, in the church dispensation, there is no such command. So when we look at Acts through Revelation, and we don't see in letters sent to the church or after the establishment of the church ever being told to tithe. What they're told to do, and a tithe just means to pay tithe, is to pay a tenth. What they're told to do is to give. And so now I can give you the passages where the Bible tells us to give. And it uses the word collection in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. And so this is not a want to. This is a have to. God says you have to. But in doing it, God says you need a want to. As we continue reading the text, he says in verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. So we set aside as we prosper, as God has prospered us. He says that there be no collection when I come. If we look at 2 Corinthians 9, it shows us the kind of attitude that we ought to have when giving or, you know, making an offering for the collection. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible talks about an attitude of being cheerful, for God loves a cheerful giver. In verse 6, the Bible says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity. That's the have to. So don't do it because you feel like I just have to do it. And you can't do it grudgingly. I really don't want to give. You can't have that kind of attitude. The Bible says, for God loves a cheerful giver because I want to. And so I do it because certainly God commands it, but I'm supposed to have an attitude of I want to. I want to give as God has prospered me. I want to give, and I want to do that from the heart, and I need to do it cheerfully. And so certainly we still must give today. I hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number here at the station, 308-9564. You can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Talking about tithing, we made a list of questions that are talking about the most frequent things that are asked on the broadcast here concerning tithe. Why do people say that you must tithe today? Matter of fact, we've got about 14 different subjects here on this list, and we're more than happy to send this to you. If you want to have this list of questions to go ask your preacher, go ask your preacher. Matter of fact, let's just change that to let God ask your preacher these questions. As you see what the Bible says, why do they always start talking about fundraising and tithing and offerings and about money? When you just don't see hardly any of that in the New Testament, you just see some instructions and that's it. And it's never brought up over and over and over again. Don't you wonder why, in reference to the seven churches that are addressed in Revelation 2 and chapter 3, that you never see them rebuked about them not giving enough money? That's just not brought up at all. And so when you look at that, you think, well, that should be a big issue there if it's such a big issue today. Yeah. And thus, what do we learn from that? So go ask your preacher these questions. And here, we'll be glad to give this to you. If you're interested in getting this list of questions to go ask your preacher, then why not just go ahead and call in? And if you call in the number that we're about to give you, every 15 minutes, we'll be giving this number. Be sure to specify, send me the Go Ask Your Preacher questions, and we will be glad to poke that in the mail to you. And so don't miss out on this. We'll be glad to send these out to you, and eventually we'll get them online where you can print them out from our website, and that we're more than happy to share this with you. So here's some of the questions. In addition to tithing and fundraising that is so prevalent among churches today, another question is in reference to women preachers. Go ask your preacher why that is not followed as the Bible brings out. Or the sinner's prayer. Where is that in the Bible? Matter of fact, well, there's verses that say that that's even possible. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Well, this list goes on, and as you hit some of these subjects today, we're going to point it out. Hey, it's on the list. So go ahead and get this list in the mail to you. We'll be glad to send this to you even this week, and that is go ask your preacher these questions. And here are several of them with the verses, and hopefully he will or she will have the answer from God's Word, because that's all that matters is we've got to let the Bible speak. And by the way, that number, if you want to go ahead and jump in and get this list to you, that number for you to get this in the mail to you is 553-5157, 553-5157. And by the way, if you if you will, if you've already gotten the Bible Correspondence course, give us that information too, and we'll just send the list to you without the course. But we're glad to share it with you. And as you leave your name and phone number and name and address, be sure to let us know exactly what you desire. Again, that number, 553-5157. You have something you want to add to that there?
Well, we just got a question that came in about tithing. It says, where in the Bible is the requirement to give at least 10%? And again, that was given to the Jews. That was given in the Old Testament. And the word tithe itself, so if you look at the Hebrew word, T-I-T-H-E, go back and you look at the Hebrew word, it means a tenth. And so we see that as a matter of command given to the Jews under the law of Moses. But it was never given to the church. So it was never given the Christians to do. They were always told, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first three verses there, and then also in 2 Corinthians 9, you can start in about verse 6 and read down about verse 8. And what you'll see is that these folks are told to give as God has prospered them. They were to set aside or to lay up in store. That's setting the money aside. They were to give not out of necessity or grudgingly because God loves a cheerful giver. And it shows the attitude of a cheerfulness that they were supposed to be offering what they were going to be offering to the Lord. And so that was God's command concerning giving for the church. But as it pertains to tithing, the way we get this idea of 10% is because the word itself literally means a tenth. I hope that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for calling in your question. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number here at the station to call in your question. Your question can be written down or brought in to us. Or you can go live on the air and ask your question. If you desire, you can actually text in your question. We have a text line. That number is 725-9283. And again, the area code for all of these numbers is 843. Now, we talk about a Bible study that you can do in the mail. We're about to come upon a break, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. And so our encouragement that is if you're interested in the Bible Correspondence Course, so this free Bible study that you can do in the mail, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call 553-5157 to sign up for it. That's 553-5157. It is absolutely free of charge. You can sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, and you can also ask for the list concerning Go Ask Your Preacher. The questions about going and asking your preacher some key questions that are very popular today. Now, that list is going to have a series of scriptures answering, if you will, those questions. And you would be able to go and search those scriptures out yourself and see what the Bible says, see what God says. So on the one hand, you'll have God's answer. And then on the other hand, you'll go seek answer from maybe your preacher or your pastor or even those whom you may engage in religious discussions with. And so this is just another means to help you as you try to study and understand the things of God. So this is our encouragement to you. If you're interested in that list, if you're interested in the correspondence course, again, go ahead and call 553-5157.
And specify exactly what you're wanting, whether it's the course or both or just the list of Go Ask Your Preacher questions, and we'll be glad to send those to you. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know how much we appreciate you and your desire to know the truth. And my friends, it will be the truth that will set us free. It will not be us on the radio. It will not be your mama. It won't be the Pope. It won't be your pastor. It won't be family. It won't be the majority. It will be the truth that will set us free from the power of sin, from the power of darkness, to be able to get us into Christ. And that is all we should be looking for, because it will be that truth that will give us our eternal home in heaven if we obey the truth. We not only just must be learners of the word and hearers of it, but we have to be doers of it as well. James 1 and verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And if you have a desire to know why maybe your church is not teaching the truth on some of these subjects that come up so very often, for example, I'm looking at a list of questions and verses that are often coming up on this radio broadcast, and we just want you to do this. See what the Bible says, and then let God ask your preacher why that is not being taught that way. Go ask your preacher. If you're interested in this list, don't hesitate. Call 553-5157. Ask for the list of Go Ask Your Preacher questions, and we'll send it to you in the mail even this week. For example, here's one of the questions that's on this list. Why are we a denomination? When you look in the Bible and you see the Bible says there is one faith, you see what God prayed for, what Jesus prayed for in John 17, that we all be one as He and the Father are one. You see the church at Corinth addressed in 1 Corinthians 1:10, where it says that I beg you, I plead you, I beseech you in the name of Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Now, why are we part of something that we would call division or denomination, being that that is what God desires of His people in the Bible? Oh, then go ask your preacher why. And if you want these list of verses and these list of questions, then go ahead and call 553-5157 and ask for the set of questions, and we will send it to you. If you do not ask for it, all we'll do is just send you a correspondence course. So if you already got the course, then just say, all I want is the questions, and we will be glad to poke it in the mail to you. It's called Go Ask Your Preacher. And there's a bunch more questions here that you might want to know about and find out the truth on before it is too late. So go ahead and call 553-5157. If you've already done that and you have a question, go ahead and call our question line. The voice line is 308-9564. If you'd rather just text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, next question.
Yes, in fact, I'm going to try to combine two questions. I'm stepping back to one where the question was about tithing, and where in the Bible is it a requirement for you to give at least 10%. And as I understand it, I know that you were looking for the actual scripture where it starts. And then there's another question about tithing and a seeking of explanation from what we read in the book of Hebrews. And so in Hebrews, we find a listing of scriptures concerning tithing. And so what exactly does that mean? How does that apply from Hebrews chapter 7? So we'll try to look at both of these in a quick manner, trying to combine these. So when we look in the scriptures, what we find, that first of all, tithing as a matter of command to the Jews was given in Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30-32. And you'll see in this text in Leviticus chapter 27 that what God is telling them has to do more with what we don't typically think of as tithing. It has more to do with them giving of things like their livestock, things like their crops, those types of things. And that was to be done, again, as a matter of command by God. That's Leviticus chapter 27, I said, in verse 30-32. I don't think that's right. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land, that is correct, of the fruits of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd and the flock. And so there you have, again, this message of God giving this command to the Jews. Now, tithing first shows up in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, where we see Abraham coming back from his battle. You know, we typically refer to that section of 4 Kings verses 5. And in this time period, we see a person, a high priest by the name of Melchizedek, that appears, and Abraham would pay him a tithe. So then that leads us to the question that was asked about Hebrews. Can you explain tithing in the book of Hebrews? Well, in Hebrews chapter 7, that's what that is about. It is talking about, it's making a contrast between Melchizedek's priesthood and then the priesthood that really came through Abraham, which is, essentially through Moses or Aaron, the Aaron or Levitical priesthood. And so it's making a contrast between the two, and it's showing which priesthood was greater. And as you read this text in Hebrews chapter 7, what you'll find is that Christ's priesthood through Melchizedek was the greater priesthood. That's difficult to understand and even to teach on the radio, but I will try to put this together some kind of how where you can understand what I'm talking about just by reading the text. The entire book of Hebrews is talking about Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than the prophets. He has a better priesthood. He has better promises. So that's what the entire book of Hebrews is about. In chapter 7, there's this contrast between priesthood, and it's saying that there's this priest named Melchizedek, which shows up in Genesis chapter 14. And it's saying that Jesus is of that priesthood. And to show how much superior that priesthood is to the Levitical priesthood, it shows Abraham paying a tithe to Melchizedek or to this priest, saying that Melchizedek's priesthood is superior to any priesthood that would come through the line of Abraham. And so here's some of the verses here that kind of paints that picture. Picking up in verse 4, now consider how great this man, talking about Melchizedek, was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levites who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is the law of Moses, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham, talking about Melchizedek, and blessed him who had the promises. It was Melchizedek that blessed Abraham. And so as it goes down, it's going to talk about who blesses who. Does the greater bless the lesser, or does the lesser bless the greater? And in every case, without exception, it is the greater that blesses the lesser. And so if Melchizedek blessed Abraham, Melchizedek is the greater. Hence, his priesthood is a greater priesthood. Hence, if Jesus came through the order of Melchizedek, then Jesus' priesthood is greater, yes, even than Abraham's priesthood, which would be the Abraham or Levitical priesthood. That's the only point that's being made, that when you think about the Old Testament law and how great it was, when you think about the high priest of the Old Testament, when you think about the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the one message is that Jesus' priesthood, Jesus' offering, Jesus' sacrifice was simply better, better, and better. That's all that this text is talking about. I hope that's been helpful. I know it's somewhat difficult to try to understand, but continue reading that text with that picture of it's making a comparison between a priesthood that came through Abraham and a priesthood that came through Melchizedek, and showing that Jesus' priesthood is superior. But join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We are glad to be able to be of your service and to service to you, and we hope and pray that that has been beneficial. If you would like to download actually a Bible study concerning the idea of tithing, it seems to be a hot topic today. But if you're wanting a complete rundown on that, it is on our website. Why not go there and download that and study it and just go through your own study of it? It deals with how it was practiced in the Old Testament and how it is not part of the new covenant that we are to live under. Our website is at BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com, and you can click on the Bible Studies button, and that will give you a whole list of subjects, of which one of them is tithing, and it will give you a complete rundown, one of which you may not ever even have thought about, but tithing was not to be given to the Levites in the form of money. There's no indication that it was supposed to be money or as far as gold and silver, as far as that is concerned, it was supposed to be commodities that were given. And matter of fact, when they actually had to travel a distance to get there, they could convert it to money, but then when they got there, before they gave it to the Levite, then they were supposed to reconvert it back into whatever they desired and add 20% to it. And so that's kind of interesting as well. All that is in the list of scriptures you'll have if you download that from our website at BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com. We also want to let you know that if you would like this list of questions to go ask your preacher, no, let's change it, let God ask your preacher. But here is the list, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Just go ahead and call the number that we're giving, 553-5157. And when it answers, give us your name and address. We'll get in the mail to you this week. And then also, it will be sure to ask, I want the list of scriptures, list of questions to go ask the preacher, and specify that. And if you've got the Bible Correspondence course, say, please, I already have the course, just give me the list, and we will get that in the mail to you even this week. So go ask your preacher these questions. Let me give you another one here. There are a number of churches, a number of groups that we're aware of that might want to ask the preacher this: why are couples sinfully fornicating in their relationships overlooked without warning? They are certainly in danger of going to hell, so why do we not warn those individuals in their practice that they may be involved with? Yeah, that's going to go over real smooth, isn't it? But nevertheless, God is very clear on that. Matthew chapter 19 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it makes it very clear how he feels about that they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So there's the verses, and if you want the complete list, go ahead and call 553-5157, and we'll get it in the mail to you this week. Now, if you have a question right now you want to have answered on today's broadcast, don't miss out on this. The lines are now available. You can get right through, and that number is 308-9564. We'll be right back.
308-9564 is the number here at the station to call your questions, so go ahead and do that. Also, go ahead and take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. We're encouraging you in that. And the number to sign up for that is 553-5157, 553-5157. And a number of you have taken advantage of the opportunity to call in for this list of questions. Go ask your preacher is what it's called. It's a series of questions that you can go and ask your preacher. And we have the questions listed here. We have the scriptures out to the side. You'll have to go and search the scriptures yourself so you can see what God's word say in answering the question. And then go ask your preacher or your pastor or those you may engage in religious discussions with. Ask them these questions and see what the answers are. See if the answers are the same. There's a passage in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof. And that's the word I want to highlight, for reproof. And so you can take God's word as the standard, and then you can compare it to what someone else says, reproof it. And so that's what God's word is designed. So you can determine what's true and what's false. So if you're interested in this list of questions that you can go ask your preacher, go ahead and give us a call, 553-5157, to sign up for it. Again, that number is 553-5157. So go ahead and take advantage of it, free of charge. To join us here at the station with your questions, so go ahead and call 308-9564.
When you do call and ask for that list, be sure that you say, I just want the list, if that's all you want. But if you want the Bible course as well, then we'll be glad to send that to you as well. Everything we offer is free of charge. We receive it, we receive freely, and we freely give. And so we're just more than happy to share with you. Again, that number is 553-5157. We have a caller texting in this question. Their question is, and it's a sad question because it probably fits a lot of people that are listening today. Their question is, is your husband allowed to stop his wife and kids from going to church because of his personal issues with the church? Well, that's a really good question, and my heart has been broken to see individuals. Even this year, there was one particular like this, and it just breaks my heart whenever I see individuals that will be persecuted by those even under their own roof. and preventing them from doing what they know is right to do. And so it's heartbreaking, but let's go to the Bible for the answers. There's two places I want to direct you to. And first of all, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 brings out that we ought to obey God rather than man. Here, the apostles, in Acts chapter 5, the apostles were being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And they had been arrested, and they were told to no longer speak the word of the Lord. Well, their response was, we must obey God rather than man. And so there we can see they would, even in the face of persecution, and yes, they were even beaten because of their faith, they obeyed God rather than man. Why would they be willing to do something like that? Well, because Jesus said that's what was going to happen. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, and let me just read some there. Matthew 10, verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against a mother, and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And so there it makes it very clear that we've got to draw a line. And the line that God would have us to draw would be his will has got to come first. I know of a particular story where one woman was met at the front door by her husband. He had went and gotten his gun out and was holding it on her as she was about to take her kids to church down the street. He said, "You're not going to worship today." She looked him straight in the eye. She said, "I am going to worship today. If you pull the trigger, the location will be in heaven. If you don't pull the trigger, it'll be down the street. Now you choose the location where I am going to worship God." Yeah, that took guts. No, that took faith. Would you be surprised to know that he took her to church? Many times we will be tested by those that do not care for God, and thus to see if it is just real or not. So thank you so much for your question, and my heart goes out to you, and you're having to go through something like that. But the bottom line is, Jesus says it's going to happen, and the apostles took that seriously when they were under threat of life and persecution and beating. We must obey God rather than man. Thank you so much. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. That's the voice line. You can call in your question right now. Both lines are available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Randolph calling in today. Randolph says, "Is salary for preaching biblical?" Well, Randolph, absolutely. The Bible shows that that those who labor in the vineyard should be able to reap a salary for that. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, where Paul says, "For it is written, in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sake? For our sake, he says, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing that we reap your material things?" This is what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. We have sown spiritual things. We've labored. Is it a great thing that we reap your physical things? And then there's another passage just a little bit clearer than that, found in the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 18, it says something similar, but it gives a little more clarity. In verse 18, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wage. We all know what a wage is. And the Bible says the person who labors is worthy of a wage. And so here the context is about a pastor or elder, you know, one who meets those qualifications. But certainly the Bible shows that the person who labors is worthy of a salary. So whether they labor in physical things or spiritual things, they are worthy of a salary. I hope that's been helpful to you. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have this question that came in from Sam, and he wants to know, what does this mean? And he's referring to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. He says, the verse says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And so it talks about seven pillars. What does this seven pillars mean? Well, Sam, I have to admit that that kind of threw me for a loop. I guess you're wondering why it took me so long to answer this question. And so as I looked and did research on it, we can see that the book of wisdom, Proverbs, is filled with pillars, including seven here, that we might list something like this. Going also in back to chapter 8, verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. Proverbs normally is scattered, but there does seem to be a theme here in chapters 8 and 9. And the seven pillars would be prudence, knowledge, chapter 8 and verse 12, and discretion, knowledge and discretion. Third one would be fear, chapter 1 and verse 7. Certainly the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Number four, counsel from God, obviously, 8:14. Sound wisdom, understanding, and power, all from 8:14. There's probably others as well, but those are seven that certainly would fit into that pattern that would be right. And then the outline of chapter 9, you can see that there's two houses under consideration. There is the house that is built by wisdom, that is in verses 1 through 12, described there with many characteristics. I would encourage you to go through, carefully analyze how she, this woman, was building her house and what all was involved in it. And then starting with verse 13, you'll find out how the wicked woman builds her house. The foolish woman, the clamorous woman, and on. You can see about that starting on verse 13. So go through the whole chapter and look at that, map it out, list it out, and be blessed, my friend, because God has a blessing waiting for you there. Two kinds of houses. One is built by wisdom and pillars that will not be shaken. One is built by unrighteousness, and oh, there is trouble indeed. So go through and look at that, Sam. There's a lot more there than what I can talk about on this radio broadcast. Thank you so much for your question. It helped me a lot, too. Thank you again. Again, the number is 308-9564. Time for us to take our, wow, we're almost, we're 1 hour into this already. We only have 30 minutes left, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have a question, don't wait. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Remember what we're offering today. We're offering to send you this Go Ask Your Preacher list of questions to go ask them. Why is it that we're doing this, or why aren't we doing this? Questions. Because God is very clear on these things. So if you want us to send this to you in the mail, maybe you don't have access to the internet where you can download it eventually, then go ahead and get it in the mail to you this week. We'll be glad to send it to you free. And when you call 553-5157, be sure to specify, I want the list of Go Ask Your Preacher questions, and we'll get it in the mail to you. We'll go ahead and pause right now to give you that opportunity to get this to you. Again, that number is 553-5157 to ask for those questions, those list of scriptures to be able to ask your preachers. And if you've already gotten that, go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564. The lines are available. We'll be right back.
308-9564 to call in your question here at the station. Don't want to miss out on the opportunity to get the free correspondence course of Bible study in the mail. That's available to you as well. Again, that number is 553-5157. And yes, we're offering today a list of questions that you can go ask your preacher. Again, the scriptures are to the side that you can go and look up and see what God's Word says on those questions. And then you go ask your preacher or your pastor or, again, those that you engage in religious discussions with to see whether or not what they say is the same as what God says. If you're interested in that, just make sure you specify when you call 553-5157. Just specify that you're interested in the list of questions to go ask your preacher. We encourage you to take advantage of this tool because that's what this is. Everything that we offer is free, and it's really designed around learning. I want to know what God's will is. I want to know what God says. And sometimes in an effort to find out what God says, yes, we have to challenge the status quo. We have to challenge what's been said, challenge what's been done. And it's okay, because if it's true, truth will stand every time without exception. You can't shake truth. That's just the nature of truth. And so there's nothing wrong with questioning things just to make sure it's so. And so we encourage you to take advantage again of the list of questions. Again, to sign up for that, make sure you specify you want the questions. That's 553-5157, 553-5157. To call in your questions right now here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We sure do appreciate your participation today in today's broadcast and your desire to know the truth. We've noticed we've had almost a couple of dozen of you request that form, that list of questions. We're glad to send this to you, so don't if you have a desire for it to be sent to you, then don't miss out on that. The number for the list of Go Ask Your Preacher questions is 553-5157. And that will continue in receiving your calls throughout this broadcast. You've got 30 minutes to go ahead and get that to you or to request that list. And by the way, specify when you leave your name and address, specify that you want the list of questions and not the Bible correspondence course so that we don't send something to you that you already have received. So we're glad to send that to you, 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, we just have a couple right now we're working on, so we've got time for more questions. Go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text us your question at 725-9283. We have Lily calling in this question. She wants to know what scripture to read for demonic spirits that follow you. Lily, I tell you, we do live in a day and a time when a lot of churches are talking about things like this. But one thing that they don't normally tell you is what we're about to tell you. And the reason is a lot of churches today want to sensationalize, to cause people to get big-eyed and bug-eyed and all kind of excited and out of sorts, because that way they can grab hold of you. Matter of fact, even sometime put a leash around your neck to keep you under their thumb. But the truth of the matter is, here's what God says. Before there ever was a demonic spirit in the New Testament, as we've read so much about it, Zechariah, 400 years or more before, said this, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. "And it shall be in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of idols from the land, and they shall be no longer be remembered. I will also cause prophets and unclean spirits to depart from the land." There in the same breath, God says both prophets and unclean spirits will depart from the land in the same context. And so, when did that occur? Well, as we know, when you turn out 400 or 500 years later, you see the New Testament beginning. John the Baptist came. There were, in Jesus' ministry and even the early church, many examples where people were possessed with demonic spirits, and thus they were able to cast them out, every one. Even one time the apostles had difficulty casting out some spirits of an individual while Jesus and Peter, James, and John were up on top of the mountain being transfigured. Jesus was being transfigured. And when they came down, they expressed their lack of success at doing that. And Jesus told them, well, this one has to come out with prayer and fasting. But nevertheless, it was a demonic spirit. There was one called Legion, where there were many demonic spirits in the man in Gadara. And so there were many examples of that throughout the New Testament. And there were many that were they were cast out, every one. As the early church began, Peter, James, John, the apostles, the prophets, they could cast out these spirits. There were some fake people that tried to cast out spirits, backfired on them. They were possessed and ran out of the house. And so it was truly by the power of Jesus that this was done. All right, so your question is, how can I overcome this? Well, notice it said that they were both going to exist and depart at the same time. When the New Testament was completed, which we are referring to, the Bible, then also those demonic spirits were also taken away. And then God gives us this exhortation in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour." Oh, my. Well, so that shows that the devil is real, and he's doing everything he can. Well, then he says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood." He also, in this same context, tells us that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from you. James also says this. James chapter 4, I believe it is verse 7 and 8. Let me make certain here. Verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." And so it lets us know there that we can resist the devil. We have the power, not the devil. The devil nor the demons have power over man at all today. We will only allow him to have as much power as we allow, and thus God won't force us to serve him, neither will the devil. Thus, God has given us freedom to be able to choose. And so there we can see we can resist the devil, and he will flee from you, that we should be vigilant because the devil is real. His demons are real. But God promises now that he will flee from you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, and so on. So we can see that in 1 Peter 5. Thank you so much for your question. I hope that's been helpful to you. Bottom line, what we're seeing there is demons do not possess people to overrule their will at all today. God is faithful in this, and he will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 expresses to us. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number, if you have a question about this or many others, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or if you have a cell phone, you can text us your question at 725-9283.
We have a call from Joe. He says, "Are we living in the last days, and why aren't church folks rallying to stop gay marriages?" So let's deal with the first question. Are we living in the last days? Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, day of Pentecost, when the gospel was preached for the first time after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. During this time period where the apostles were able to speak in tongues as a result of fulfillment of a prophecy that was given by Joel. And we see that in verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, prior to that, Peter says what's happening here is a response to that prophecy. So their ability to speak in tongues was a direct result of what was prophesied. And he says, this is what Joel said in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." And it goes on. Now, Peter says what's happening, what was happening to him and the rest of the apostles, was the result of what Joel prophesied. And what Joel prophesied was that this was going to take place in the last days. And so certainly the last day started from the time of the gospel dispensation, Acts chapter 2, from the time that the gospel was preached for the first time since the resurrection of Jesus Christ since the church dispensation. And another passage that may be helpful is Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, again, which says kind of the same thing, verses 1 and 2. Now, this idea of the last days, the Bible says God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And so the Hebrew writers, when he penned this, said that they were, in fact, in the last days. And so the last days have been in place for some time, and certainly we are still in that period. We are still in the last days. I'll come back to your question. I think we want to make a few comments prior to going to break, but I'll come back to your second part of your question, which has to do with why aren't church folks rallying to stop gay marriages?
And by the way, that is a real good question, and that's one of the questions on our list of Go Ask Your Preacher. Why is that that we are permitting this? And we want to encourage you to go ask your preacher about that. We appreciate you calling us. What we'll do is we'll just go to the Bible, and that and you'll see that answer in just a moment. But if you want this complete list of 14 questions to go ask your preacher, and we may add some more to it as time goes along, but right now it's 14, then just call 553-5157, and we will send that to you in the mail. Some of these questions need to be asked, because if a church is not teaching the truth, then that makes them ready to receive the curse that Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says. Paul even said, though we, including himself, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached 2,000 years ago, then what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Why aren't we sticking with that? Some would say, oh, well, the Bible is open to interpretation. Well, my friend, if you say that, is a math book open to interpretation? Name a math book today that you can get 2 plus 2 equals 6 out of. Yeah, that won't work, will it? So does that mean man can write a book that has a finite answer and truth, but God can't? Yeah, that's silly, isn't it? God is going to have a finite answer, and we might better find out the answers now while we can correct what may be wrong. So let's get these questions, ask these questions, ask yourself these questions as well. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge, 553-5157. While we are at break, continue to call in your questions. We will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer on all things that pertain to life and godliness as we let the Bible speak.
308-9564, 308-9564 to get your question in before the end of the broadcast. This is our last segment, so if you want your question in till today's broadcast, go ahead and call. If you prefer to text your question in, you can do that as well. That number is 725-9283. If you want to sign up for our Bible study that we'll send to you in the mail, then you can do that right now as well. Again, that's free of charge, and that's 553-5157. That's the number to sign up for that. And then also, if you want to take advantage of this offering today of a free list of questions that you can go ask your preacher, you can go and study, use this sheet to study God's Word. You'll have the scriptures. You can look and see what God says as a matter of the answers to the question, and then you can go ask your preacher, you know, why do we not do this, and why do we do this? Because, again, your soul hangs in the balance. Jesus says, what does it profit a man, though he gains the whole world, yet loses soul? And so you should not entrust your soul to no man. Man will fail you. You entrust your soul to the shepherd, you know, the good shepherd, and we're talking about Jesus. And the way you do that is you ask those questions that he has given us answers to make sure those who are leading are actually following him. And so this is something that you're interested in. Go ahead and call 553-5157 and specify that you're interested in the list of questions to go ask your preacher. 553-5157.
Yes. Did you answer that question? No, okay, all right. Here's a question that was texted to us. Sometimes when one is answering a question, the other one is studying a question. And so Text question just came in. Is there a specific time when we should give, or every time we attend, for example, Sunday school, Sunday services, Bible classes, and such? Well, the Lord just simply says give. 1 Corinthians 16, the specific time that he says is on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. And so it's not a matter of giving. If we're giving to the Lord for his work. And so it's not a matter of the church becoming the owner of that money. It is a matter of God is becoming the one that we're giving to. And so we have to ask God how that money is to be used. And so that is another study entirely, and we'll be glad to share that with you as well if someone wants to call in that question. But God does give specific instructions on how that money that is given is to be used. You can see the pattern, the examples throughout the New Testament. So as far as there's no such thing as Sunday school, we're supposed to give to God, and that the timetable is on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. We have Kim calling in this question. She wants to know, or he wants to know, explain kingdom and righteousness and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, that's in Matthew chapter 6. Read verses 19 through 34, Matthew 6, 13 through 94. Excuse me, 19 through 94. I'll get this right. Let me get this right. Verses 19 through 34. There we go. And that's Matthew chapter 6. And so you'll see there that he's talking about being anxious about things of this life and how that we should not be anxious about these things, but rather we should be seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, that's something that's foreign to us. We don't understand loyalty to a king, but that means he is the complete, finite, sovereign ruler over everything, and we own nothing. So that's how we should approach our honoring him and serving him. He's king. He's the kingdom of righteousness. We should seek after his righteousness, and if we are, nothing even comes close. Now, after you read that passage, let me send you to Luke 14, verse 25 through 33. Luke 14, 25 through 33. And both of those will make it very, very clear what that means as far as putting him first. Thank you, Kim, very much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Joe, I want to get back to Joe's part two of Joe's question, which simply says, now, why aren't church folks rallying to stop gay marriages? The passages I would use is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, and also Romans 1 verses 24 through 32, which simply shows that this is not a practice that God would support. So homosexuality is not a practice that the scriptures for the New Testament church would support. In addition to that, if we were to look at Genesis chapter 2, and I believe it's somewhere around verse 24, where the Bible shows us God's institution of marriage, that it was between male and female. So the Bible certainly teaches us what marriage is. Now, is it the responsibility of the church to rally a crowd and run around and try to, to demonstrate? Well, the Bible doesn't show that either. Our job is always just to stand against error. And the way we do that is by teaching and then thus by our example. And so, Joe, I hope that's helpful to you. And then we have another question that came in. It says, how did Yeshua change to Jesus? And so this question is around, how did Jesus' name change? Well, Yeshua is Hebrew. And so in essence, his name is still Yeshua. And if I spoke Hebrew, then I would probably still refer to him as Yeshua. But we translated the Old Testament scriptures from Hebrew to English. We translated the New Testament from Greek into English. So anytime we use a different translation from Hebrew to English, from Greek to English, I think some of the Old Testament was written in Aramaic books like Daniel and Ezekiel. When we translate that to a different language, then we start using the translated word. So from Yeshua to Jesus, that's all I can offer on that one. The second question is a description of Jesus is not Caucasian. So when we look in the scripture, do we see the description of Jesus being Caucasian? And then he goes on to say that Mary and Joseph were from Ethiopia. and all the apostles were black. So I think the idea is that Mary and Joseph, because they were from Ethiopia, you know, would then produce a black child, which means that Jesus would be black, and then all the apostles were black. When we look in the scriptures, God just never specifies. He never gets into that. He never focuses on things like color. And when he talks about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, what he was going to look like, there was not going to be an appearance that we would cleave to. That, in fact, Isaiah 53 and verse 2 says, "For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness." That is to say, there's no form, no splendor that we should desire him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. So there was not going to be anything on Jesus' outward appearance that was going to cause us to desire him. God just didn't put an emphasis on that. And concerning the apostles, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 7, the question was asked, aren't these all Galileans? And so, again, we have some idea where they're from, where they were from, but no picture of their skin color, no picture of how much hair they had, just no picture of these physical features in the sense the way that we would look at it. And so I don't think we focus on Jesus being Caucasian or the apostles being Caucasian, but we don't focus on them being black. We don't focus on them being Hispanic. We just don't focus on those kinds of things.
Well, the Bible doesn't focus on that.
And that's why we don't either.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thank you for your question. We've got several questions we're going to quickly go through here. And here's a question. How do you deal with a parent who is older that is causing dissension or disruption in the family? The older person is always negative. Well, regardless of how they might get ornery in their old age, and most of us do, and I find myself sometimes getting a little bit sharp myself, God tells younger people, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, honor your father and mother. That is a rule, that is a law, that is a command that we must do all the days of their life. We have to honor them. And so it's never, it doesn't mean that they're not above correction, because God's word does correct. And so when we point out what God's word says, if they love God and they love his word, then they'll listen to God, because God is older than us all. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, the word of God is profitable for correction. So go ahead and take a look at that. And hopefully that will be helpful to you. Nick, you have the next question.
Okay, yes. We have a text question, last three digits, 972. Kind of a series of questions. It says, why would you want us to ask our pastor about gay marriage? Well, the question is really designed to help you in your studies of God's word. If you are assembling with a place that says it's okay, and then when you look in the Bible and the Bible says it's not okay, who are you going to go with? What God says or what someone else says? And if this is what's being taught, well, you want to ask the question, why is it being taught? It may be that there's some other passages that may support that. Now, when we look at the scriptures, we don't see that, but you want to know why. The second question says, we are not supposed to judge any man or person. God says, come as you are. Love has no boundaries. If gay marriage is so bad, then why are we allowing gay marriages? So we'll just kind of take this piece by piece. The Bible doesn't say don't judge anyone, but rather what the Bible teaches on judging is to judge righteous judgment. That's
Matthew chapter 7 tells us that we're to judge by their fruits.
Okay. And then also the Bible shows us that you said God says come as you are. Well, that's not in the Bible. But now the principle of you come, but God wants you to change. And so Ephesians chapter 4 kind of talks about that. Let him that stole, that's coming as you are, he says, still no more. Okay, don't do that anymore. So then you have that kind of change going on. And then you say, why are we allowing gay marriages? But the Bible doesn't. So that means someone's violating God's law. And then finally, you said people are so worried about gay marriage, but that's not even half of the problem of this world. Well, simply, it's a symptom of the problem. The problem, of course, is sin and allowing sin. And God does not. And God calls everyone to sin to repentance. So we absolutely agree with you. That's just one sin out of many. And so we should be focusing on getting people to repent of their sin.
We are out of time. We've just got a few seconds left. We also want to remind you that now's your chance, your last chance to go ahead and ask for the Go Ask Your Preacher questions. Here's several questions with verses of Scripture. Go ask, let's change that. Let God ask your preacher through these questions why we are practicing or not practicing these things. Thank you so much for calling today. Thank you for listening. We hope and pray that you've been blessed for this as we let the Bible speak.